Appreciate Damon leading that song. One of my favorite songs. Through the years, I've had to go to the doctor. And doctors have a way of hurting your feelings. Especially when they say, and there's been a few doctors that I've gone to that I knew pretty well personally, and they would say something real medically technical, like, "You're too fat, you need to lose weight. That's why your blood pressure's high. That's why your sugar is elevated." And each time I've gone to the doctor and they've said that, I was hoping that they had come up with something new. I was hoping that they would say, "We have a new pill. You can take this pill once a day, and it'll cause your blood pressure to go down, it'll cause your sugar to go down, it'll cause your weight to go down, and you'll look marvelous." But they haven't figured that out yet. So the short of it is, I know what he's going to say. You need to go on a diet. You need to lose 5, 10, 15, 20 pounds. Or else, you're going to have to take blood pressure medicine. Or else, you're going to have to do this and this and that. And many times that has motivated me. And through the years, I have been a yo-yo dieter. Sometimes I'm up and sometimes I'm down. Sometimes it's successful and sometimes it's not. Sometimes I'm good and sometimes I'm not. And I've learned through the years that it's a matter of choice. And when it comes to eating and foods and so forth, I'm pretty weak. I can be on a diet and be losing weight. And if I'm anywhere nearby a Chewy's, and some of you know what that is and some of you don't, but if I'm near a Chewy's, I'm going to eat 3 baskets of chips with that creamy jalapeno. It's just awesome. Now, what am I talking about this morning? The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, "Therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. And I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder." I hear this quite regularly from Christians. And it's something I've said myself many times. And when you say that, there is no doubt that I've meant it, and I'm sure you meant it. But I would like to suggest to us that just as I go to the doctor and I'm expecting to hear something new, something better, a more microwave approach to my issues and problems, I hear the same truth every time. And the truth, like Peter says, is something I'm just reminding you of. Something you already know. But one of the things about being discouraged is discouragement is universal to everyone. Everybody gets discouraged. Some people rebound quicker than other people. Your discouragement may be just a few moments. It may be just a day. It may be weeks. Some people, months, years. decades. But I'd like to suggest to us that we can do something about that. I have been very thankful to God for my health, and I'm in pretty good health considering how I treat myself. And I'm thankful that if I just eat better and exercise a little bit, my numbers do really good. And I realize there are some people with health conditions that you can't diet and or exercise and it really change much. You know, there are things that we can change and there are things we can't change. But being discouraged is something that we can change. It is something that we can overcome. It is something we can deal with and get better. And having said that, I think that all of us need to understand wherever you are spiritually, it really is normal to be up here sometime and to be down here sometime. That is normal. No one is always up here. No one. Some of the best brethren that I've known have had discouraging days. And there's lots of reasons for that. So this morning, I'm not going to say anything to you new. I'm going to remind you and myself that discouragement is universal. It hits us all. It affects us all. And there's no new pill. There's no new microwave cure. But we must keep in our minds the basic fundamentals wherein we can have good spiritual health. It's really a choice. And when we say that, that makes it personally, we're accountable. So may I say from the get-go, without making any of us angry, that if you're discouraged and you don't bounce out of it, it's your own fault. We get discouraged, we get down, but it is a choice. We've got to learn to deal with it. You've got to learn to handle it. And God's Word does address that. And we must try to overcome. Now, I look in my closet and there are a few skinny clothes. I said few. There's a few skinny clothes. There's the medium clothes. And then there's the fat preacher clothes. Okay? And I've kept those over the years because I constantly go from one to the other all the time. And it gets discouraging, especially if you're doing really, really well, and then you eat at Chewy's one too many times, and you need to go up a level. Okay, that happens. It happens. And it used to really, really bother me, and it just really discouraged me. But I'm trying to be happy and content, as Paul said, in whatever condition I find myself. Fat, medium, or skinny. But spiritually, when we're thinking about our condition, I hope that this morning, and my guess is there's a number of you here today that might be a little bit discouraged. So what are you going to do about it? No, it's not okay. Because it hurts. Discouragement, untreated, leads to something worse. It leads to depression. And depression is this total inactivity. We're talking in spiritual terms here. And sometimes we get so discouraged, we become depressed, and we just quit functioning spiritually. That's a sinful condition. But when we are discouraged, We need to make the choice to do better. So, there is help. The help that we can receive is that Jesus will help us. And sometimes maybe I think even Christians feel like that is such a generalization that we don't really concentrate and think about and realize by faith that that's even true. Matthew 11 and verse 28, you remember that Jesus taught that we should come to Him. And remember specifically who He invites to come to Him? He invites those that are weary and are heavy laden. And He says, I'll give you rest. Weary is a word that has to do with being, well, let me explain it this way. You've been physically tired. You've done something physically. You're physically exhausted. Okay, you've got that, right? But then you may have the kind of job or the situation to where emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, you know, you're shot. You can't think. You know, weariness has different sources. But it causes us mentally to start shutting down. We're exhausted. We're weary. And that may even be the result of doing good things. Paul said, do not become weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So the warning from biblical perspective is that we have to be very careful about becoming weary, becoming discouraged. But Jesus says, you can come to me and I can help you. So we can overcome, we can deal with it. And that's why Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Are there days, are there times when we think that's not true? There are some times that we feel like we just cannot do it. We just can't overcome it. There are days like that. And I would simply say to all of us that that is a lack of faith. And faith is a matter of choice. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So I hear the Word of God, I accept it or I don't accept it. I believe it or I don't believe it. I do it or I don't do it. It's a matter of choice. Some days are hard. Some days are difficult. And there may be days you don't even get out of bed. There are days that you don't want anybody to speak to you. You're not going to answer the phone. You're closed. You're closed for the day. Sometimes we do that. But we can't remain there. We've got to come out of the closet. So this morning, I want to talk to you about simple things you know that are tried, true, and tested, that work, whoever you are, to overcome your discouragement. And I must say to you, I have my PhD in this. Been there and done that mucho times. And I'm not the model. No way. But I want to suggest to you, bad things happen to all of us. Difficulties happen to all of us. Trials happen to all of us. Now what you going to do? Well, this morning, let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, one of the things that discouragement does to me, and I'm sure it does to you, it causes us to not have any contact with anybody. It just, you want to shut down. You want to shut out. You just want nobody to, you don't want to be around anybody. And that's pretty typical with most people. But when we give in to our discouragement, we tend to want to seclude ourselves, and then we tend to want to do nothing. But that's pouring fuel on the fire. It's the prescription to depression, a sinful state. So if you're feeling blue, sometimes we've got to have that cry. Sometimes we've got to have that pouting. Sometimes we just got to feel bad for a bit. But the way you bounce out of that is you get busy, start doing something for somebody else. Because see, discouragement many times is self-centeredness. It's being selfish. It's all about me. The elders didn't say anything to me. The preacher didn't talk to me. You know, it's all about me. So the way to completely reverse that whole thinking is to get out of your house, go visit someone to encourage them. And encouraging others and getting yourself busy and doing something good is also a prime prescription from psychiatry to psychology. Taking a pill is not always the answer. I'm not saying you can never take a pill, but probably too many of us take too many pills when the answer is not a pill, but it's get out and do for others. So I want you to think about this. When you're feeling blue, when you're feeling discouraged, and your little world is just not what it ought to be, get out of your little world and go help somebody else. We have some beautiful people here that are widows that would love for you to visit them and talk to them. There are beautiful people in this church, all of which have issues, problems, difficulties. Our Alex is here today, and we're so thankful to see him. And I know the Adams family are just so happy about that. Tell you a quick little story. When we lived at another place, one of our local families, like the Adams, had a young son. He went into the Marines, and he did a tour in Afghanistan. And some of the other local ladies, sisters, had sons or daughters that went off to college, and some of them were just across town. And these ladies were just boo-hooing, and they was, you know, upset because their child was out of the house, out of the nest, you know, going to college. And this sister, she came up and she said, "I don't feel sorry for you. What if you had a kid that was in Afghanistan?" Well, you know, those ladies probably didn't really appreciate her saying that, but that was a reality check. And that's what we don't do when we're discouraged and we're self-centered. We don't have a reality check. So this point, I could just as well named it, have a reality check. Do you have it bad? Do you really, really have really a reason to gripe and complain or feel sorry for yourself? Get out and go visit people that have real problems and real issues. Not that your issues or my issues. I always think my issues and my problems are much worse than yours. And if we have a conversation, I'm going to tell it like your problems are nothing and mine are great. That's the way we think. But that's how the devil whips us. So, if you're discouraged, it's not that you don't have issues. It's not that you don't have problems. But there are other people that have greater problems. Reality check. Second thing is praying. Again, nothing new, right? Doctor says, you're fat, you need to lose weight, go on a diet. Surprise, I never heard that before. No, I've heard that many, many, many times. If you're discouraged, what should you do? You should pray. You know, it's really kind of a known fact that people that are discouraged usually are not praying. Think about it. What should you pray for? How about praying for yourself? Asking God to help you to get out of this. Because He did say, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. What's He want you to do when you come to Him? Talk to Him about it. And there's something about, that's why psychiatrists make so many bucks, is that when you go to a psychiatrist and you lay on the couch, and what are you doing? You're just talking. You're just telling them your problems, right? And they're sitting there, yes, okay, sure. Come back next week and it'll be another $1,000. Right? Well, if any of you have the need, you can come to my office. I've got two chairs. You can sit there and tell me all of your problems, and I'll, okay. And you can give me $1,000, and you can leave, and you'll feel better. You'll feel better. You say, I ain't doing that. Exactly. Exactly. But what can you do? How about talking to God? Talk to Him about it, and He won't charge you $1,000. But you can talk to Him, and it has the same psychological effect. Pray to God. Talk to Him about it. Reading God's Word every day, it's not just that we need to tell someone something. We need to hear something. I don't know how many times people come to my office and they say, Brother Salih, I feel this, I've done that, or whatever. What should I do? Now, if they will listen, and many times they will, I open up the Bible and I say, now here's what God says for you to do. And they, and it's not anything they don't know. They already know it. They need to be reminded. We all need to be reminded. Reminded day after day. So you read your Bible, you pray, let God talk to you, you talk to Him. Very simple. Now everybody knew that, right? But when you get discouraged, that's exactly what you don't do. Think about it. You stop doing that. Third thing. You need to love God more. When the text says you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you got to give it your all. Be honest with yourself. Just be honest. When you go through a real stretch of depression or discouragement, maybe even depression, think about, here's another reality check. What are you doing for God? How do you love God? Are you showing your appreciation for God? You've eaten the Lord's Supper. What did you think about? Sure, there's lots to think about in the death of Jesus, the body and the bread. How about this one? How about being thankful to God that He gave His Son and I'm forgiven? When we start to think about what God has done for us, that should be motivational for us not to sit around and have a pity party, but to get up and start loving God more, doing more for God. Attend every worship service that you possibly can. I'm not talking about just here, the gospel meetings. Honestly, how many even concern yourself one moment about any announcements back there on the bulletin board about any other gospel meeting anywhere? We have a difficult time getting to our own, let alone go to somebody else's. Let me tell you, going to a worship service is helpful to overcome discouragement. Because you sing and you pray and you listen to the Word of God and you get out of your own feel sorry for me disposition. And in this area, we are so blessed that there's just oodles and oodles of all kinds of churches that have meetings that we can, regardless of when we're discouraged. And it doesn't always come on Sunday, does it? It comes on Tuesday night sometimes, doesn't it? About going to church. In fact, there's a gospel meeting. I forgot where it's at. There's one this week. Well, you've been feeling kind of blue and feeling sorry for yourself? Go to a worship service. Think about something else. When you are discouraged, and you're wanting to be alone, and somebody gets in your space, we lash out. So it's important that we calm down, cool down, and love more. Because see, when we're discouraged, and there's some reason for it. There's some excuse for it. And it may be legitimate, it may not be legitimate. It may be righteous, it may be unrighteous. We're not really talking about that today. We're just talking about, okay, you're discouraged. We get angry about it. People at church don't care about me. People at church don't talk to me. People at church don't love me. And it's all about what others don't do for me. And you get angry about that. You get upset about that. And what happens is we're allowing everyone else's actions to control how I feel. And that's a miserable state to be in. When everyone else controls how I feel. When you're a Christian, Jesus gives us the ability to not be affected by what everybody else is. I can have a peace and I can have a comfort that is beyond all understanding, regardless of what's going on around me. We have that promise. So you do have to take, as somebody says, a chill pill. You need to calm down. You need to just cool off. Stop being angry at the world. And love more. Do more for others. Now we're in a season of giving. But for the Christian, it ought to be all the time. Not just a seasonal thing. We're all pretty much in the mode of what I would like for Christmas. Maybe we should reverse that and live the kind of life as to what am I going to give for Christmas? But what am I going to give every day? That'll get you out of discouragement. You need to repent of sin immediately. One of the worst things, one of the strongest agents of the devil, is that when we've done wrong and we keep trying to hide it, we keep trying to cover it up, we keep denying it. You need to repent of sin immediately. You need to rid that cancer of your life. That means we've got to remain humble. Can you say this morning, I am a sinner? Can you say that? Number two, can you say, in all good conscience, I am forgiven? If you can't say, I'm forgiven, and yet you say, I'm a sinner, that weighs heavy on you. Beautiful thing, Miss Brooke baptized into Christ Wednesday night. Just to see the picture of a father baptizing his child, it's just the most awesome sight you ever see. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Brooke said she was a sinner. And she didn't look too happy about it. When she was baptized into Christ, now she can say, I'm forgiven. My guess is there is a lot of people in this audience today that can say, I'm a sinner. But you cannot, in all good conscience, say, I'm forgiven. No wonder you're discouraged. And for us that are children of God, we have access to God through the blood of Christ, to be forgiven. Why would we not repent? We have to forget the past. That's hard to do, isn't it? We've been bad.
We've been a sinner. We've done evil things. Through the blood of Christ, you can be forgiven. But you need to give it up and forget about it. And you need to move on. When we keep living in the past, it destroys the present. If you're just sitting around constantly thinking about what you've done in the past, it ruins today. So you got to forget the past. You got to move on. Paul was one of the great examples of that in Philippians chapter 3, remember? He discussed and talked about his former life. Remember his former life as a Jew, persecuting Christians. Yes, consenting to their death. That would be a tough past to forget, right? But as a Christian, he said, forgetting the past, I press on toward the future. Can you forget the past this morning? Through the help of Jesus Christ, you can forget the past. And you can move on. Discouragement is a choice. Remember the cartoon character Eeyore? That describes many of us. Or you can be Tigger. It's a choice. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. That's a choice. I told you here a while back about my little grandson and how my wife had been working with him because he's pouty and whiny. And she made the point with him that God was not happy with him when he had a sad face and he was whining. And just the other day, it's been a few months since she taught him that, but just a couple of days ago, he was whining and his mother got mad at him and sent him to his room, and my wife went back there and talked to him and she asked him about where the happy face was. And all of a sudden, the crocodile tears and the sad face, he just went like this and he started smiling and he said, "And God's happy too." Well, he did remember that. It's amazing what children remember. What we want them to remember and what they want to remember. But you know, you can choose to be Eeyore. Or you can choose not to be Eeyore. Now all of that you know, right? You knew that, right? Anybody learn anything? You didn't learn anything new today, right? I don't think you did. Casting all your anxiety, your cares upon Him because He cares for you. One of the reasons that we get discouraged and even into depression is because we don't think anybody cares. Wives get tremendously discouraged because they don't think their husbands care. They don't think their kids care. So they get really down because they've given everything they can give. And they're just not appreciated. Well, I'll tell you someone that cares, mamas. God cares. He cares for you, even when your husbands don't. God cares. So you cannot ever rightfully say, nobody cares. I've said that myself. Nobody cares. Yes, they do. God does. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What is your request today? What do you want today? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want to rejoice? You want to be up? You want to get out of your discouragement? You want to get out of your depression? What do you want? Ask God. Talk to Him about that. But then do what He has asked you to do. At some point in time, one of my old fishing buddies, doctors, He's pretty big himself. And he told me one day, he said, "Lowell, if you keep on, you're going to be fat like me. You need to diet." When I looked at him, and he's on blood pressure medicine, he's diabetic, and he's all these sort of things. You know, I didn't look at him and say, "You hypocrite." I didn't say that. I took the encouragement from him. And I can't do anything about him. But I can do something about me. Today, you can't do anything about anybody else. But you can do something about you. And if you're discouraged, it's a choice. And we're not saying there's not issues and problems that you're dealing with. But God will help you deal with it. Well, that's what I come to tell us today. Kind of a feel-good lesson, I hope. And we all need those from time to time. Being a Christian is not just this is right and this is wrong. We all have to live our lives every day, doing the best we can. Now, some of your difficulties and some of your issues that discourage you, you may not change a thing. It's always going to be there. You've just got to deal with it. And sometimes that's the case. Sometimes we just can't forget the past. But what God is able to do is to help you each day to deal with the past better. So the same issues that you face every day, maybe you can't make it go away. But God will help you to deal with it better each day. And you can deal with it better each day. But you got to want to. So this morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, we would encourage you to become a Christian. Becoming a Christian is not just something trivially that we offer or that we say or we talk about. It is a major, major answer to your life. It will change your life. But being obedient to Jesus Christ in baptism is a commitment for the rest of your life. And I hope no one was ever baptized into Christ and they thought once they became a Christian, everything would be fine and wonderful and I'd never have any more problems. God never promised that. But what He does promise you, if you can say, "I'm a sinner," wouldn't you like to be able to say, "I'm forgiven"? And when you are forgiven, the world looks a lot different. Wouldn't you like to be forgiven today? If you're a child of God and you've forgotten about your purification, you've forgotten about your forgiveness, no wonder you're discouraged. Concentrate on that today. One step at a time. If we can help you, won't you come as we stand and sing?
All things are ready. Come.